Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The finish line of the week here on 96.5 The Fan. It is Fesco and Dusty on a beautiful Friday. I am Bob Fesco. That is Mac J. Morey on the other side today. He's co-hosting because Dusty took the day off to go golfing. Good for him, man. He needs off. He deserves the day off. And so he's going to go out there and hit them all over the fairway that they're not going to land in the fairway, though. You know, this will be to the left of the fairway, to the right of the fairway, overshoot the green, and he'll complain about his golf game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Coming back. That's the best about, you know, him taking the day off to go play golf. He will not hit the ball well today. He will be very upset about that.
Upset,
right?
Even though he hits the ball way better than you and I.
Oh, God, yes. The golf to me is like the bane of my existence. And people have said, did you ever play golf? And I did, you know, like when I first got out of college and moved to Texas, Mac, we had like this golf course down there called Starkey Park is what it was called in Seguin,
Starkey.
Texas. Yeah. Shout out to the Starkey family down there. Right. And it was lined with pecan trees. So you'd walk the course and crack. Fresh pecans. It was very nice.
Oh, that's cool.
It was like $500 for the year, all you could play with a cart.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were out there all the time playing. Never got good. Never got good. At golf, I just could never figure it out. But we played every day, boy, and I was terrible at that thing, right? And so it got to the point where it's like, I'm just not having fun doing this. And I remember the last time I played, Matt Castle had his golf tournament. That tells you how long ago it was. Come out and play. Fine. Went out and played, threw the clubs away after that. That was like 2011, maybe. Maybe, yeah, 2011, I think, is the last time I think I picked up a golf club and went out there and kind of, you know, hit the thing, right? It's just not my thing, right?
Yeah,
it's just something I know people love doing it and whatnot, but like, it's just not my deal.
Well, it takes time.
It
does. A lot of work.
And once I had kids, I said, look, I'm not going to spend this time on the weekends doing this. I want to spend time with the family. And so that's kind of another reason why I put the golf clubs away, because I have two kids now and it was more important for me to be there with them and do all that kind of stuff than try to figure out how to hit this ball, because I am no good at it. But at least I surrendered and knew, right?
You knew it was, at least that's a really wholesome excuse, at least for me. It's just, I just suck at it.
Yeah.
I'm just not good.
There
I don't want to exert
that
energy and time and slash a little money. But yeah, for me, I just I've played, maybe I can count on one hand how many times I've played, but I imagine Dusty will shoot him straight today. He'll be all right. I mean, I'd say by 10 a.m., by the time we're ending up over under 4.5 surf sides, I imagine he's right around that line.
Oh, you think 4.5 surf sides by 10 o'clock this morning,
What
right?
do you think? They're starting at 8? Maybe less. Maybe it's 2.5.
Oh, it starts at 8 o'clock this morning?
I thought
morning?
So. Okay. Maybe it was earlier.
Right.
I can't remember.
Well, either way, that's a good number. I'll take the over on that.
Okay,
as well.
There we go.
Yeah. Those are so easy to drink.
Yes,
I mean,
they are, man.
You know, I'm going out on the boat with Ralph a little bit later on today. Yeah, there's going to be surf sides in that cooler, because it's perfect for the spring, for the summer, and for the hot months. And so get on after it today. How'd the hedge trimming go yesterday? You get all the bushes trimmed?
Got it done,
man.
Good. You were right. That job kind of sucks.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work.
Yep.
But it was good. You were also correct. Tarp is going to be the go-to. I'm going to have to go purchase a tarp, because that sucked cleaning up all the little clippings. I raked them together in piles.
Yeah, but still.
It's still, and my back's hurting, and it's the UV's probably over 10. It's 100 degrees.
Are you a teenage girl? I mean, oh my God, I had no idea the UV mattered until I had teenage daughters. Every 10 minutes.
This week.
I mean, every 10 minutes. The UV is going to be 11 today. The UV is going to be 8 today. Does anybody else have, like, is it every freaking teenage daughter who's telling you what the UV is?
Yeah, I get this from Hannah.
So you do?
Yeah, I get this from Hannah, yeah.
When did the UV become a thing that people looked at all the time? I know we've talked about it, but I mean, it was never, nobody ever walked around when we were growing up going, the UV 7 today, or, you know, like, but I mean, like, they get up in the morning And before they even get on Snapchat, it's like, let me go to see what the UV's going to be like today. UV's 11, get out of the way!
Let's go!
Boom!
Got a tan!
Got a tan! I was looking at this stuff. But anyway, so the UV was very high yesterday, teenage man.
Yes, it was. But it worked out. We got it done. Looks good. It was. I sent the before. I'll have to show you the before and after. I sent it to Dusty because he let me very kindly use his edge trimmer because
Nice.
I don't have those.
Very
but
good.
Yeah, no, it's good. We got it done.
So good. Yeah, moving forward. And you get it done during the week and you don't have to worry about doing it on the weekend too. And that frees you up to go out there and do whatever the hell it is you want to do this weekend.
I took your advice on that on this job very early on of like, hey, man, try and leave your Fridays open because you get off here, you kind of get a 3-day weekend-ish. You can kind of get that feeling from that because you don't want Friday after this to just have to do stuff.
No, you don't go home and mow the lawn or do all that stuff. So you could knock it out on a Thursday and whatnot, take care of business and not have to worry about it on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. It's even better. It is a perfect way to get things done. Day two of the NBA draft happened last night. My friend Kurt Nelson was texting me yesterday because we were talking about, like, you had said something, and Hunter Norzad, who played at KU, is that his name?
Yeah, right. Dickinson.
That guy, he didn't get drafted.
He did not get drafted.
So you were right. You were foreshadowing it a little bit yesterday. You said, wow, Hunter Dickinson, two rounds of a draft, didn't get drafted. Little did we know the second round didn't happen until yesterday and whatnot. And so he got, you know, signed a two-way contract with New Orleans or something like that. So that's like G League and one after another. And so we were talking about that yesterday, my friend Kurt Nelson, the Royals Hall of Fame test, because I don't think the second round has happened yet.
Sorry.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, it hasn't happened yet. Good call out of you, Kurt. He goes, but it's not going to really change our viewing plans for tonight, right? No, of course not. You know, I didn't sit down and watch the second round of the draft yesterday, but Kurt brought up a really good question. And this is kind of something I think we can look at for all of sports, too, right? Not just the NBA draft. He said, he goes, how many of these people picked today in the second round will have more NBA minutes than you and I?
True.
And so I asked my NBA expert, Mac, how many of these second round guys are going to see more NBA action than you and I in the NBA? Because we're at 0 minutes. There's no way we're getting one. No chance, no way, no hell that we're getting one. How many of these guys that were drafted in that second round yesterday are actually going to see playing time in the NBA? What, five of them maybe?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe 10. Maybe you get a third of the 30 that see time in the actual NBA. Yeah, maybe 10. The depth of college talent's getting more, and the draft is a little weirder with, you know, more European players going in the first round that sometimes don't work out. Maybe there's 10, but you're right, dude. It's not a lot.
It's not a lot. You were going through the list of, like, second rounders, and you're like, you had two guys, and then you're like, there's some old dude from, like, when you were growing up. It ended up being, like, Tracy McGrady.
It was Gilbert Arenas, I think.
Arenas. That's who it was. Gilbert Arenas, who was not that old, but there was, like, three guys that you could come up with right away that got action, you know, in the second round of this draft. And so why not just make it all free agency after the first round?
I completely agree.
You know,
agree.
And just let these guys go where they want to go. And maybe it's a better fit for them, too. And maybe you can get more out of these guys, right? Like, if you're a guy, you know, that's a shooting guard and you get drafted by Memphis and they don't need a real shooting guard, but you were a better fit for, let's say, I don't know, the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's like it's hurting your career as much as it's hurting the team's career in all of that. And so I think at the times you get late in these rounds, and obviously Veach has had success late in the rounds with some of these seventh round picks and whatnot, but he's also had success in free agency with some of these rookies. And I wouldn't mind cutting down the NBA draft to just one big night of the first round. The baseball draft has been cut way back. The baseball draft used to be, up until like 4 years ago, people sat in a conference room around a speakerphone and they would just go from team to team to team. And it was like on a Tuesday afternoon. And you know when the baseball draft ended? You know, after how many rounds? When everybody said they were done. and so I think they've reduced it now to like 40 rounds or something like that, you know, of the baseball draft. But that's still a lot, right? Like, why not just do it the right way, have a couple of big time rounds, and then let everybody else be free agents and let them use the relationships that they've created during their amateur years and you know, whatnot, to turn that into what team they want to play for. Because certain teams have better scouts. They form better relationships with players.
Oh, yeah.
They become better fits. They really like this guy. Then all of a sudden, somebody that they've never talked to drafts them. I mean, there was somebody who was drafted in the NBA draft, I think it was. He goes, I had no idea they were even interested in me, right? And I can't remember who it was now. It was somebody that was taken, you know, top 10 maybe. They go, I had no idea they were even interested. They never called me. And so as you're being, you know, kind of scouted and whatnot, the scouts, the coaches, they come alongside you. They're recruiting you and doing all that stuff. You form relationships and whatnot. And then you get drafted by somebody you don't know. And like, I'd rather go and play for this guy who's formed this relationship with me, would probably make my career better and in turn would make your team better. And so I get why we have the draft, but I think it's becoming a little bit antiquated and maybe can be better served in all sports by having the ability for after, you know, in the NFL, if you want to do four rounds of an NFL draft or something, two nights or whatever, baseball, you want to do 10 rounds, basketball, you want to do one, hockey, you want to do one. And then everybody who wasn't drafted then has the ability to sign where they feel comfortable. And I think that would get more guys to the big league level, the higher level, faster because they're more comfortable and in a better situation than what they're normally in.
Well, and I think for those guys that you're talking about, that level, that second round tier of talent, it's really important that they go to a situation where they have a good relationship or are in use, because if there's a year or two, you know, if you're lucky, that pass by and you're not used, you're not implemented into the team or looking good on the G League or really used in the role that you thought you could flourish in the NBA, you're done. It could be over.
Right.
Like, that's how quick it is for these guys. They're not a first-round top 15 pick who's going to get 2 or 3 years and get work and get hope and, he's developing, he's a younger guy. These second-round picks are 23, 24 years old a lot of the time. Like, they need to get in a good situation and have a good relationship. And, you know, another thing about the NBA draft is, one, I don't know why we're doing the NBA draft 3 days after the NBA finals. That, to me, is preposterous. But the second round, I didn't watch, but I'm looking at Shams, you know, with the 35th pick, with the 30th, so I'm just seeing these names, right, pop up on Twitter. I know these names more than I did a lot of the first round guys.
Isn't that crazy? Because they're all the college
kids now,
right?
They're the college guys that I watched for the last 4 years. Why is that happening? That's another problem with the NBA, and that's not the draft. That's just systematically, like, college and the NBA. We've got a systemic issue here. Why are these the premier players in March Madness, the guys hitting these shots that I've watched the last 3 years? It's interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And it goes to show you maybe where they view the level of college basketball compared to what's going on in Europe right now, too. And that's the other thing. Like, college basketball continues to go down, down, down. European basketball continues to go up, up, up. I mean, we saw it in the Olympics this past year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, it was the first time we were really challenged, you know, and really challenged as a country since, well, the Dream Team 2 or whoever it was blew it years ago. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not normally challenged on the basketball court. We're getting challenged now, and that's because there's great talent all over the globe. It's become such a global sport, which would baseball has become such a great global sport as well. And look, the NFL's trying to become a great global sport right now, and soccer's a great global sport, and hockey's a global sport. Really, the only thing that's not is the NFL from a true global standpoint, right?
You know, they're trying to change that as quick as they possibly can,
and it's
they
working.
See the writing on the wall.
Yeah,
of course they do.
They know exactly what's going on, and it's working for them. So that's my little quick fix on, you know, how to do it, because I mean, we're seeing in baseball too. What do we see now? Six, you know, first round draft picks from last year already up at the big league level now in Major League Baseball. Picks 2, 4, 6, 8, and 14 are already up at the big league level from last year. That's awesome.
That's huge.
That's so good. And so that's what you want to see as a fan. You want to see these guys drafted and right up to the big league level and helping your ball club out. And so you get excited about some of these players, and then they go to the G League and you never hear from them again. And so just let guys sign where they want after a certain number of rounds. I think you'd have more success stories that way than you would by just selecting players in a draft. So coming up here on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco in the Morning, add Ben Roethlisberger to the dumb list. We'll tell you why next.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Through a Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. Should be a great weekend for everybody in Kansas City. Get out and enjoy the weekend right before the 4th of July holiday. I'll be off next week. We'll be off most of the week next week. I guess we have Thursday and Friday off, but I'll be off all week next week. Dusty off today. Mac in producing and hanging out with us. That's Billy. He's down in Oklahoma City. I don't know why I almost said Tulsa on that one. I'm Bob Fesco here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for everything when it comes to the Kansas City Royals, Chiefs, and all your stadium news. We'll get you some of that coming up a little bit later on, because there was some news yesterday that nobody should have been surprised about, but we saw some people were surprised about the news that took place yesterday. So we will get more into that as the morning rolls along here on 96.5 The Fan. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, sometimes you wake up in the morning, Mac, and I don't know, you've had these mornings, I'm sure, already. You go, man, what's happening today? What's going on? Is there something out there that's big that we can talk about? Is there something great? Did something happen overnight? Kind of my routine in the morning is the alarm goes off, I roll over, I turn that off. I try to get up before it goes off so I don't wake my wife. I'm very chivalrous that way, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very nice. But that also shows you, like, your body's just used to getting up just at that time. So. Yep. Whatnot. So usually today didn't work that way. It went off. She got mad. Right here we sit. And
Friday,
so yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And Friday is a tougher day to get up. But also it's a great day because it's Friday. Friday is the father of Thursday Junior. Thursday Junior is Friday Junior. However they want to say. But anyway. I get up every morning. I look about what's going on. What we're going to talk about. You know, did somebody die overnight? Did something happen overnight? That's big. 99% of the time, nothing. Really happens overnight, right? And you just go about your day. And so it's kind of where it was this morning. I stopped, tried to get a coffee this morning at a local fast food establishment. I was the only person there. So I had to pull out of the drive-through line. Went over to the Casey's, got myself an iced tea, you know, meandered up Metcalf and got here a little bit, you know, later than I normally do on a Friday because of the drive-through snafu. And whatnot. I didn't pay for anything, so I just got out. I just wanted a cup of coffee, man. Yeah, like today was one of those days. I just wanted a cup of coffee. I don't have 6 minutes to sit here. Pour the coffee and let's move on. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, all right, we're out. And so I meandered up Metcalf. I'm like, gosh, dude, nothing really big hit. It must be, you know, getting to that 4th of July holiday. Everybody's going on vacation. Nobody's doing anything stupid or anything like that. And then Ben Roethlisberger comes to the rescue and has this comment about Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers. And he said this on his own podcast, okay? It's the Footballin' Podcast with Ben Roethlisberger.
Nice.
Yes, Footballin', spelled Pittsburghese, Footballin'. Oh. Footballin' with Ben Roethlisberger, right? And he says, I would take Aaron in his prime over Patrick now. Patrick Mahomes is just now entering out of his prime, I think. He'll go down as another arguable GOAT. I think Aaron in his prime is better. And that's Ben Roethlisberger talking about new Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. How can you possibly say that Patrick Mahomes is entering out of the prime of his career? Patrick Mahomes is turning 30. And as we've talked about for the last couple of weeks right here on the show, Mac, is like guys get to their 30s at the quarterback position and then they really take off. Because I forget who I was talking about or to the other day about the quarterback position in the NFL. But you've got to be very smart to be an effective quarterback in this league. You can't be an idiot and achieve success at the quarterback position. It's not a position for dummies. It really is. You've got to be smart. Look at all the successful quarterbacks. They're pretty much geniuses out there on that field. Patrick Mahomes is in that category. Rodgers is in that category. Al Roethlisberger was in that category.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you have to know what's going on.
And you last year, you're Cam Newton.
You're
right?
Cam Newton, right? Yep. Yeah, like, you playing the quarterback position is so much more about studying and learning the book learning side of things than it is about the athletic ability. Everybody playing quarterback in the NFL has athletic ability. That's why you're playing quarterback in the NFL, right? Do you have the ability to study, become smarter, and learn every single day? For a lot of guys, the answer is no, right? They just don't want to deal with that. That's not in their lexicon. They move on and they find other jobs. The ones that are really good, though, learn over the years. And the one thing that I know from being older now is that you don't know anything. And the older you get, the less you know, right? The less you understand that you know about life. And so the older you get, though, but you do accumulate more knowledge, but you also realize you don't know everything. And so as you age, you get smarter. Patrick Mahomes is a smarter quarterback today than he was the day when he walked into the league. Is he as vibrant? Is he as young? No, he's 5 years, 6 years, 7 years older than when he first walked in the door.
but he's a lot smarter, man. He knows what's going to happen now because he's seen it. He has those years of experience. And the more experience that you have, the more you can see these things coming. The more you can see, I'm not sold on the Royals this year because the White Sox aren't going to be as bad as they were a year ago. Or you're relying on everybody to have career years again. That's really hard to do, but best of luck to you in that category, right? So you learn things, you see things ahead of time, and you kind of know what's coming. Like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, all these guys got really good after the age of 30, right? Really good after the age of 30. And Dusty was playing something from Philip Rivers the other day. And like Philip Rivers is like telling the defense what they were doing wrong. Like he knew exactly
what
they were doing. That's how smart he is. That didn't come when he came out of the womb. And that wasn't something that somebody taught him on the sidelines. That's something he learned over time. And that's why I think when you sit here and say, as you know, Ben Roethlisberger did, that Aaron Rodgers is better and Patrick Mahomes is entering out of his prime, it's just a very contradictory statement because Aaron Rodgers is much older than Patrick Mahomes. And if you're going to use the age and out of his prime, Aaron Rodgers has been out of his prime for a decade and a half then, according to Ben Roethlisberger's logic, right? According to his logic. So I don't think Patrick Mahomes is entering out of his prime. I think it's completely opposite. I think we're entering into the prime now of Patrick Mahomes. And if he is going to be considered long-term as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, this is the year where it really starts. This is his 30 years on earth. This is year 30. This is where you said, okay, the 20s are gone. Hangovers hurt a little bit more when you turn 30. Take a little bit longer to recover. You start doing things a little bit differently once you hit that 30. Then 40 happens, and then, oh, my God. And so you drink on a Friday, and you're still feeling it on Wednesday. You know, that type of stuff. Like that goes on. That's real life. But Patrick Mahomes is getting smarter. He's getting more mature, and he's getting better at understanding the game. And that's why I think now his career is going to take off on a trajectory because he also has a lot of healthy guys around him as well, which he didn't have last year. And I think that's another big misconception about Patrick Mahomes. When was the last time he played with a healthy offense? You know, when was the last time he had those weapons around him that were healthy and that were ready to go? And I'm talking about the left tackle as well. That's a weapon. And if you don't have that left tackle, you can't get the job done. And through it all, Patrick Mahomes has led his team to 3 straight Super Bowls. And you want to tell me that he's out of his prime and he's heading out of his prime after doing all of that over the last 3 years with literally nobody around him?
Nonsense. I mean, there's just so much to unpack with this. I mean, first off, Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs 5 or 6 years ago, his mid-30s.
Yeah.
He was excellent. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, yourself, I just think you'd take a look back at your own career before you spat out this nonsense. You were 32 years old, you threw for 5,000 yards. You were 36 years old, you threw for 5,200 yards, the most yards you've ever thrown. But your best 2 seasons in your career came when you were 32 and 36 years old, Ben. And that was, you know, it's a great example in this context because one of the most physically, I don't know if I want to use the word gifted, but as far as just advantageous to the defense, to the opposition, Big Ben used his physicality early on in his career a lot.
Oh, yeah.
His size, his ability to push a defender off, create space, literally stiff-arming someone and throwing a 30-yard dime. Those things went away in his 30s, but he had the mental ability to not be able to not have to use that all the time, and it created 5,000-yard seasons for him. You talk about Patrick Mahomes. Sure, statistically, is 5,050 going to happen again? I don't know. I think he's had better seasons since that already, and I think he's going to continue to get better. I mean, we talk about just simplistically that Bills AFC Championship game. What happens? The Bengals say in the second half, we're going to drop 8. We're going to rush 3 the whole time. Good luck. Mahomes was seeing color. He had no idea what to do, right? He had no idea what to do. That would never happen now because mentally, he's beat that a million times over. So physically, I think Patrick Mahomes still has 3 or 4 years of being in that elite, you know, or right under elite class as far as quarterbacks are concerned. And mentally, he's far and above anyone in the league right now.
Yeah, you bring up the mental side of things and you know, what he would have done differently. I guarantee you we win that first AFC Championship game if that's Patrick Mahomes at 30 versus Patrick Mahomes at 23.
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind. He doesn't take that sack before the half, and we get a field goal there, and we beat the New England Patriots in that AFC Championship game. That I guarantee you that happens. And that's what happens with age. You learn from experiences in life, in sports, in your job, and whatever it is. The older you get, the longer you do something, the more you learn, and the more you have a background of knowledge that you've seen this before and go, oh, I've been here before. I know what to do in this type of situation. I know it's the end of the half. I can't take a sack here. I could do anything but take a sack in this situation because a sack knocks us out of field goal range, and we may have the best kicker that ever did live, you know, in Harrison Butker. We got to give him an opportunity to put some points on the board going into halftime. Took the sack, didn't get the opportunity to do that. They lost the game. Everybody wants to blame D Ford. But if Patrick Mahomes, with more experience, Patrick Mahomes in 2025 doesn't take a sack there, throws that ball away, they get a field goal, they win that football game. That's what experience does, right? And I want to kind of piggyback a little bit on what you said about you thought he's had better seasons since 50 and 5,000.
For sure.
And I'm glad you say that because I know you're a fantasy guy, you're a stats guy, and a lot of people don't look at the big picture. That 11-5 season or 11-6 season 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl and Kadarius Toney couldn't line up offsides and Patrick Mahomes was able to not only overcome other teams but overcome his own team making these blatant mistakes and not getting the job done really tells you what kind of quarterback Patrick Mahomes is. To me, it's not the 50 and 5,000. Those are gaudy. Those are bedazzled jeans. And by the way, if you're still wearing the bedazzled jeans, give them to Goodwill, man. Seriously, get rid of those. I know you bought those Affliction jeans in 2009, and they cost you $100. You've gotten your wear out of them. You know what I'm talking about, right? You see those Affliction jeans.
Like
dudes still think they're looking sharp by putting those Affliction jeans on and rolling to the tavern on a Friday night. Ain't a good look, bro. Like, it really isn't. I know you invested a lot of money, but those are the consequences, man.
Wasn't great in 09 either.
They really weren't. No,
they
really weren't. I remember that Super Bowl in Tampa. Anybody who wore them when I was with my guys from St. Louis, Jay Randolph Jr., rest in peace, and Joe DiNera, we dubbed them Super Bowl jeans because every podunk reporter and radio host was wearing those jeans.
Really?
They're like, oh, everybody's got their Super Bowl jeans on. You know, like they literally went out and spent $100 or however much on a pair of Affliction jeans, and they're still rolling around with them. They're out. Ladies, the bedazzled jeans are out as well, too.
No,
Stop bedazzling. How did we get here? How did we get to bedazzled jeans?
I don't know.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh,
I forget what I was talking about now.
Patrick Mahomes, a bedazzled stat you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, the stat's bedazzled. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's 50 and 5,000. But what he did to overcome everything around him and lead his team to a Super Bowl when he didn't have the best weapons, when he didn't have the best offensive line and still willed them there, that's better than 50 and 5,000. So I think you are right about that. Like, number-wise, no. Overall performance, willing team to victory. Like, I don't know how many other quarterbacks could have overcome what Patrick Mahomes truly overcame in that season when they went 11-6 and won that Super Bowl over San Francisco. That was a miraculous run. It really was. He made so many people's mistakes erase and disappear because of how good he is and how smart he is as a quarterback in this league. And so that's why I think Ben Roethlisberger's comments are so misguided when he sits there and he says Patrick Mahomes is entering out of his career. Maybe if he was a running back, I would agree with you at the age of 30, but quarterbacks are different than any other player in all of sports. 30 is the beginning of their prime if they are a GOAT, and Patrick Mahomes is in that GOAT category.
I mean, 2 years ago, the one that you mentioned, when the injuries were there and the wide receiver core didn't have depth, the O-line had issues, right? 5,200 yards, 41 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. And the ability to enhance a team's strength is a great ability that a quarterback can have. But the ability to overcome a team's weaknesses is what separates you from the pack. And Mahomes has been able to do that better than any other quarterback right now and possibly of all time, because we've seen him win with weaknesses at on certain units, whether it's the O-line or defensive cornerback, whatever it is, he's been able to overcome those things, maybe like other guys haven't. I think this is a great text from the 816. We also win that Cincinnati AFC Championship game because I doubt he runs 30 yards backwards and takes a sack. There was a terrible sack that Mahomes took in the second half. You talk about the end of the first half where Mahomes throws it behind the end zone to Tyreek Hill on that little screen. Of course, you know, a fight ensues, anger ensues, all those things happen. You know, you could argue that was a low IQ play for Mahomes as well.
Sure.
No timeouts, not a lot of time in the clock. That needs to be a throw in the end zone, incomplete pass, or a touchdown. Those are your two options.
Right.
Can't be a throw behind the line. I don't know if he does that now. I don't even know if he lets that play call go through. Maybe he says, you know what, Andy, let's not get too greedy. Maybe let's take the field goal. Maybe that's probably a little, I don't know if Mahomes does that. He loves points. But either way, I think we've watched the mental maturation of Mahomes before our eyes, and it's been so much fun, man.
It really has been, and that's the other thing about Patrick Mahomes. We have witnessed every moment of his career and every step of growth, and I remember, you know, after that first year where they went to the AFC Championship game, and you know, Andy did one of those, well, he's got some stuff to work on in the offseason. We all looked around and goes, what? Yeah. 50 and 5,000? What does he have to work on? But that's the mental side of the game. And it's not necessarily working on it. It's just experiencing it and having these experiences, failing, understand why you failed, and never let that happen again. Have we seen Patrick Mahomes go behind the line of scrimmage since that play?
Exactly.
Have we seen him take a really bad sack and knock him out of field goal range? No. You make mistakes, and then you learn from those mistakes. We all make mistakes. Every single person is going to make mistakes. Do you learn from those mistakes? And Patrick Mahomes has clearly showed that he has learned from those mistakes. And so that was interesting comments by Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
All right. Star Bonds extended over in in the state of Kansas. I think I told you 3 weeks ago.
At least.
Because I have it in my notes right now of one of the people that I talked to. Viability to extend Star Bonds to December of 2025 in the state of Kansas. And so, look, this was a Chiefs-only, I believe, extension yesterday for the Star Bonds. We didn't see anything about the Royals. And what that means to tell you is I think the Royals are closer than people realize with their situation in the state of Kansas and getting that thing done at 119th and Knoll. And so I still do believe that's where the Royals are going to end up. And it was interesting yesterday because, you know, the interesting part for me wasn't the fact that the Star Bonds were extended, because I told you all that was going to happen at some point when it revolves around the Kansas City Chiefs. What was really kind of like surprising, surprising to me was the Missouri reaction about this. And I continue to go back to saying, why do I have more information than people that are leading these states, especially the state of Missouri, about what's going on? Because somebody called it a gut punch yesterday for the state of Missouri. And I said, wait a second here. How is this a gut punch for the state of Missouri? Anybody in the know knew that this was going to be a possibility and knew that the Chiefs were going to ask kind of for this extension. And that means they're making progress in the state of Kansas right now. Look, I still believe deep down, I still feel like renovation in Missouri is in the lead. Okay. Right now, but it doesn't mean that Kansas isn't closing the gap. And I don't know the talks that are taking place behind the scenes. None of us do. But if Kansas and the Chiefs weren't anywhere near being close to getting something done, they wouldn't have extended this. I've been told you extend this Star Bond because you feel like you can get a deal done and you need a little bit more time to do that. And I think that's where Kansas is right now. You saw their comments yesterday. They feel like they're in the red zone and they're ready to, you know, kind of close in on this thing. And even Mark Donovan in his letter yesterday to the state of Kansas had said, we remain fully committed to this opportunity and have invested substantial time and resources in moving this project further. We've engaged in multiple rounds of detailed proposals and revisions with the administration. Extending the secretary's authority will allow the process to continue productively and will preserve Kansas's ability to secure the most significant economic development initiative in the state's history. We're grateful for the continued leadership. We believe this project could mark the start of defining a new chapter for both Kansas and the Chiefs, and we look forward to continuing to explore that potential together. Somebody told me yesterday in the know, they go, those were strong words by Mark Donovan. And I thought that as well, too. And I was like, strong words in what sense? And they're like that's a kind of a commitment to Kansas by doing all that. I'm like, well, I don't know that they're 100% committed to Kansas or 100% committed to Missouri, but they're making a lot more progress than I believe people in Missouri wanted to realize, or the they'll never move people, you know, want to realize. Real progress is being made in the state of Kansas with the Kansas City Chiefs. Where they are, how they get there, I don't know. Ultimately, it relies on Clark Hunt giving the blessing to say, yes, it is time to move, you know, to the state of Kansas or just to a new stadium in general. Because, again, as we've talked about, that's Clark's childhood home, right? We've all left our childhood home. It's not easy. It's emotional. Imagine leaving your childhood home that your dad built on the cutting edge. It was the coolest house ever, and everybody modeled their house after yours for the first, you know, couple of years that they were building stadiums, and you set this trend, and now it's time to move out. It's a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's an emotional pull for the Hunt family, and I completely understand that. And so Kansas is still, you know, negotiating deeply with the Chiefs on that in the Star Bond side of things. And again, with the Royals, you know, that expires, you know, coming up here. I hear they're, you know, what's the baseball term of close to the finish line? You know, they got two outs in the bottom of the ninth and a, you know, bases are loaded. It's a 3-2 count and they're ready to just fire that final strike and say, waiter, check, please, and finish this thing up with the state of Kansas. I know there's been some noise out of Missouri and whatnot, and they've made another proposal for the Royals. I just don't think the Royals are going to be able to get what they want at Washington Square Park from a developmental standpoint, to have the ability to develop the area and truly give them what they need, and that is a 365-day-a-year venue with offices and people and apartments and condos and restaurants and bars and all that kind of stuff. I just don't think there's anywhere else that can give the Royals that. And if that's not what they want, then downtown is the option for them as well. But I do still feel, right now in my heart of hearts, the Royals end up 119th and the Chiefs stay put and renovate Arrowhead. That's kind of how I feel right now. But again, this clearly blindsided a lot of people yesterday in the state of Missouri that the Star Bond extension was going to take place when Bob Fesco told you that 3 weeks ago here. You know, like, so why are you surprised about that? The state of Missouri really should be listening to me. They'd be a lot further ahead of the game than where they are right now. And I'm not trying to be, you know, braggadocious or anything like that, but it sure seems like I know a lot more than the people in Missouri do about what's going on.
Yeah, it seems like they've been blindsided by a couple of these moves when you obviously have been telegraphing and broadcasting to all of us that what's going to happen. I mean, you mentioned Mark Donovan's language. I mean, he said, like, the drive is there more now than ever to get this done. I mean, to me, it's either a clear representation of what he's saying is the drive is there, the motivation's there, and we want to be in Kansas, or it is more of a message to Missouri to say, hey, this is happening. You know, Esser, get off the pot right now.
Right.
This is going to happen. Here's this very clear-cut language that, you know, I'm more than okay with leaving and going to Kansas and for all, you know, X, Y, and Z. But you still think Royals happen first?
Yeah.
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 The way
Yeah. I do. I think the Chiefs are going to take their time, as they should, and they're in a great spot. And that's the thing about this is that a bunch of civic leaders from Kansas City had a press conference on Wednesday talking about the importance of keeping the teams in the region, not just in Missouri, but in the region, and what these teams do for the region. And that's the great thing about this is that we have Kansas versus Missouri. We don't have Kansas versus Tennessee. We don't have Missouri versus Minnesota or Oregon or someplace like that. We're bidding, you know, to keep the teams in our area. It just matters what side of the state line. And at the end of the day, as I've said all along, all of that is irrelevant. It doesn't matter what side of the state line either of these teams end up on. What matters is that they stay in the Kansas City region, they stay in the Kansas City metro, and they stay part of our community. And that's what we want in all of this. And that's why it's a good thing to have Kansas and Missouri going back and forth bidding for both of these teams, because they're going to land here. They're going to get great stadiums built or renovated, however they want to do it. And to have to compete with each other as opposed to competing with another market across the country that could take our team and leave us empty handed. This is a really good thing that's going on right now. It's great for Kansas City that we have the ability to do that. And so, yeah, Mark Donovan did say, we are excited about the potential for this project. Would represent the largest economic development initiative in state's history. Just as important, the presence of an NFL franchise in the state will serve as a powerful engine for immediate and long-term growth, driving national attention, sustained tourism, and billions more in private development across the state. And so, yeah, I think that very was a strongly worded letter of like,
yeah,
we're getting closer here in the state of Kansas. Anybody want to wake up in Missouri? You increase your offer? Is this the best you can do? I mean, it's great. You go back and forth. You use each other as bargaining chips and you get the best deal for you, the best deal that you want. And so I'm excited about what potentially could come from both of these stadiums, regardless of what side of the state line that they're on. And let's just get it done so we can all move forward here and kind of celebrate and you know where these teams are going to be playing and everybody can kind of plan accordingly. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, if you could find out that someone was actually your real dad, who would you want to be your father? Because somebody found out that this man was his illegitimate dad and they're loving life. We'll tell you who it is next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up in about 15 minutes here on a Friday, we will get into the halfway point of the baseball season. We legitimately hit it yesterday at 81 games in the books, 81 more games to go. And that's really the only way to sum up the first 81 games of the season for the Kansas City Royals.
No, I could do it. I could do it.
Okay. Yeah, that as well. I mean, I don't think there's anything else that really sums up, you know, the first half of the season. So we'll get into that coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning here on 96.5 The Fan. So I like perusing and you know, viewing the articles of the day, as they like to say on the internet. And this one comes from the New York Post. Billy Idol isn't surprised he has a secret son. Quote, I had sex with a million people.
Let's go.
I just want to win, Jim.
So Billy Idol's out here, you know, absolutely having the time of his life and living it up, saying that he had sex with a million people. And so he meets his illegitimate son or one of his illegitimate children, you know, however many he may have. But he says he isn't, he's addressing the realization that he's fathered a third child. Okay. In a new interview with iNews, the musician, 69, nice.
Let's go.
Admitted that he's given his promiscuous lifestyle. He wasn't completely shocked when he found out just a few years ago he has a secret son, Brant, who was born in the 1980s. Maybe a little bit, but the more I thought about it, I guess there must be something like that, Billy Idol said while laughing, because we were going around the 80s and 70s just having a lot of sex with a million people. I'll keep it clean for that one. So Billy Idol out there doing the ditty, taking care of business out there. Now this guy finds out, hey, Billy Idol's my dad, right? Like,
it's crazy.
How random would that be? Like, is there anything more random than you waking up realizing that Billy Idol is your father? Hey, like, that just feels like a weird one. Like, if you woke up and Meatloaf was your father, you'd be like, wait a second here. Yeah, Meatloaf is my dad? Yeah. Oh, my God. That's random as well. Or you woke up and Maloney was your dad or something
that,
right? That'd be fantastic.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go, Rob. But, no, like, I mean, it would be unbelievable to wake up and find out that so-and-so is actually your father. And for the first 35 years of your life, you've been living with this guy, but he's not your dad. But, you know, whatever the case may be, your mom hooked up. And here we sit. I'd want my cash.
Yeah, you want some money. Yeah,
I want the dough out of this one. And so I'd be knocking on the door going, hey, Pops. Hey, Pops.
Hello.
Give me my money. I'm your son, Brant. Nice to meet you. But it begs the question, if you could find out somebody was your father and you didn't know about it, but all of a sudden here you are in your 30s or 40s and you find out so-and-so is your dad, who do you want to be your illegitimate father?
Oh, it's a great question.
Thank you.
Because I think, you know, it's like, how was your Tuesday? Oh, yeah, you know, went to work. How about you, man? Oh, yeah, Billy Idol's my dad. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
what happened? What
yeah. Well, had some coffee.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
took a dump, did the whole thing. Yeah. Oh, Billy Idol's my father. Wait, what?
yeah, I think you go many different directions with this. I'm going to go money and interest. Bill Simmons got a lot of dough. He's got a lot of money. Plus, he's a sports guy. He loves the Celtics. He'd get me courtside seats to the Boston Celtics. We'd go sit together with my new dad, and we'd root on the green.
What would you do, though? Like, if you did find out that Bill Simmons or whoever was your illegitimate father, but your dad has raised you, like, would you... How do you like go from like this has been my dad to this is my sperm donor? You know, like, how do you make that jump? Do you ditch the guy who's raised you for 30 years and go to Billy Idol, or do you like how does that whole situation, you know, play out? Because that's got to be a weird situation.
I want to build a relationship.
Yeah. I would as well,
but I obviously can't throw away. Like, I don't know, like, I guess the person who raised me would be like my father almost, whereas like, okay, that's my dad. I should get to know my dad. I don't know. Does
I think
that
it's
sense?
The other way around.
The other way around? Okay.
Yeah, I think the guy that raises is your father. Like,
okay.
He fathered you, right? You don't say he dadded you,
no,
right?
That's true.
He fathered you. So he would
that's
be
fair.
Your father, but the guy that raised you would be your dad, you know?
Yeah, and you'd want to get to know that both at some level,
well,
right?
I would think, yeah. I mean, or you know, I don't know. I think the older you get, the more you realize, oh, okay, this is what happened. I get it. You know, I'm a guy. I understand, you know, things happen.
This would win, probably a lot easier for a guy in his 30s to understand than an 8-year-old kid, you know, if something like that happens. So,
yeah. Also, it's, you know, it's the 80s.
Yeah, right. And maybe the 70s for this guy. Who knows how old this guy is? But yeah, the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, most of the 80s. Very weird time, man. So, like, all kinds of things were going on and whatnot.
Who's your answer?
It's Warren Buffett is my answer. I mean, Warren Buffett would be.
Got to figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
Yeah. I mean, that's it for me. I thought right away, like, oh, let me get Warren Buffett as my father. You know, that would be great because you'd be set for life. You could say Bill Gates, he don't leave his kids anything. Like, he's not leaving his kids
like that.
Anything of his fortune, which I think sucks, man. Like, have the kids take care of them. I'm working my ass off so my kids don't have to.
That's
my father-in-law says that all the time, too. I'm working hard so you don't. And every generation wants to give to the next.
Yes.
Bill Gates, richest man in the world. Yeah, I'm going to give it all to charity and not to my kids.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
There's something to say about growing up super wealthy and having your kids, you know, want to earn it and teaching them those lessons. But come on, man, just to throw away the level up that you've earned for your kids and the things that could bring them to, the positives that could, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's nuts because we all know how hard it is in this world, right? It's harder by the day.
Yeah.
Things get more expensive by the day. It's not easy to raise a family, you know, now. It's like, my sister and I talk to my parents about it all the time. We're like, it's much different. Like, we appreciate the advice that you want to give us about raising children and what we should be doing. But honestly, honest to God, most of the stuff that you raised us on doesn't apply today.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. It doesn't apply. It doesn't exist. You just can't do this, or you can't do that, or you can't do the other thing because it doesn't apply today. You know, everything's expensive now. There's no more $25 team that you can just sign up for and play. Everything's thousands of dollars for this, thousands of dollars for that. You know, the world is so expensive right now. And so if you're a guy like Bill Gates and you have the opportunity to set your family up, you know, for life and take care of your kids after that, you got to do that, man. You got to think about them first and setting them up for success, because if they have success, then success begats success and it trickles down and everybody can have success. But if you don't, man, like, I just think that's a bad way to go about it. What's the text line saying this morning?
Well, we didn't get Bill Gates. We got Bill Brooks from 93, which I think is great.
Bill Brooks is a good one. Yeah,
that's awesome. I love this one. Here we go. I was trying to find it. Oh, 816, Pat knows his true daddy's Joe Burrow.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah. 913, Carrington.
Oh.
Okay. 816 says Clark Hunt.
Nice.
That'd be a fun one.
That'd be a fun one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. If your dad owned a football team, like the guys who dad owns the Jets, and they're making decisions based on video games.
Madden ratings.
Yeah. Love it.
Sylvester Stallone from the 913.
Sylvester, huh? Yeah. Could you tell what movie he's doing? Rocky or Rambo?
Hugh Hefner should have been my dad from the
86. That's a good one.
That's a fun one.
Are you as suave as Hugh Hefner is? Is that what you're saying? Like, you're walking around in a silk red smoking jacket at the Playboy Mansion?
Oh, yeah.
God love you if you're doing that, man. You're my idol. Not Billy anymore, but you are for doing something like that.
This guy says, way to go. Billy says it like it is. This guy says, 563. J.F. and Binkley. That's fantastic.
Binkley, he's America's dad. Let me tell you, nobody represents the male in America more than Jay Binkley does here on 96.5 The Fan. So if you got guys who you would like to have as your illegitimate father, you can text that in as well to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
1-3-5-8-6-7-9-6-5 for all of your text line needs. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, we're going to get into it a little bit. It's the halfway point officially of the baseball season. We're going to talk about some of the things that didn't go so right, some of the things that need to turn, and if we believe they can turn, or if this is where we are when it comes to the Royals. We'll do that next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.